life might hand you budgets, schedules, family, and responsibility, but driving shouldn't be just another chore.
We're here to help you find a car you love. Something that fits your budget and your needs, but is fun to drive and makes you look back. I'm Todd.
I'm Paul, and this is the Everyday Driver Car Debate. We have so much to talk about, and our shooter Chance is back on with me. Welcome back, man.
I'm here again. You can't get rid of me.
And that's a good thing, man. I'm so excited for the upcoming Velocity Season 3 that we're going to be shooting. You're going to be joining us for a lot of stuff.
Yep.
It's on. I mean, it's still winter here, but things are melting, and it's giving me the urge.
Well,
I have to go driving.
It's been a pretty warm day, though, today. I was asking a bit much of my snow tires to,
were
come,
you?
To come here.
Yeah. I heard you pull up, though. You've done something to your exhaust a little bit on your FRS?
Yeah, well,
or your BRZ,
same
sorry,
difference.
Yes.
Recently, I redid the clutch on my car.
Okay.
And I had some help with a couple guys from the local FRS BRZ club.
Yeah.
And you know, you get talking with guys that have similar taste in cars, and you start saying,
as one does, yes.
What do you want to do to your car? What have you done to it? You know, those kinds of questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'd like to do an exhaust, but I don't have... It's one of those things that I'd love to do, but it's
short
one of those
of
cars that
cats.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to throw money at it.
You know?
So one of them's like, hey, I've got an extra one that I had shipped to me by accident, and they didn't want it back.
Perfect.
So, and some of you may have heard of it, but it's a track pipe. It's basically a muffler delete. So it almost looks like someone took a fence post, could have put a couple of strategically placed bends in it and an exhaust hanger and a flange, and there you go.
Just weld it up and screw it on, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect, but yeah.
It's actually not as loud and obnoxious as you'd think.
It's not? It doesn't drone on the freeway or anything?
No, it's still got okay. The resonator on the by the cats.
Because I can tell when you arrive. I was like, oh,
yeah,
Chance is here. There
it's
he
a lot
is.
Louder than it was. And I think Todd's was still louder when he
oh, yeah.
I'm pretty
yeah.
sure his was a lot
and
louder.
And the Z car, the 300Z that he had, that was loud.
Was
that,
it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, guys, welcome back to the show. We are thrilled to have you with us. Todd is on a brief hiatus, so Chance is joining us again. As you can hear, we have so much to talk about. As I said, I want to talk about the Geneva Motor Show, which is currently going. We're in the midst of the press days as of this recording right now.
Yep.
Lots of cars to discuss, lots of favorites, lots of dislikes too, and I want to go through that. And then we're going to do one debate after the break for a couple out in Wisconsin. They have quite
it's,
a debate.
It's quite
here.
A garage they've got.
They've got the disease badly, and this is for Emily, as a matter of fact. Emily and her husband, she said, we're bored in Wisconsin, also known as First World Problems, also known as Emily. Thanks for writing in. We're going to get to that. And then you guys have asked such great questions. We'll wrap up with that. But I do want to start out with the television season 2. That is, all the episodes are officially uploaded to Vimeo at this point. So the entire season
yep.
is on Vimeo. You can find it there. Thank you for your support. And speaking of support, we couldn't have done it without our sponsors for television this year, Covercraft, Rio's Garage, and our friend at Auto Tempest as well.
Yep.
So we recently had a giveaway, and we are announcing the mileage giveaway. It was to guess the mileage of the Mini, the long-term Mini. And no, it's not quite a million miles yet. I hope it gets
needs
there.
Another zero on there.
Agreed. And you saw the range, so we posted for questions, for guesses. And the winner is Alex R. He is known as Disco Pogo on Instagram. You guessed 186,555, and the correct answer was 186,559 miles. So he was just
he was pretty close.
Four away.
Impressive, yeah.
And yeah, well done. So we will be in contact. You'll have your choice of a Covercraft car shade or a Covercraft car cover, graciously provided by Covercraft. And yeah, well done, man. So watch out for upcoming giveaways very shortly. We're going to do it again, so stay tuned for that. We'll be announcing that one shortly. But for now, Alex, congrats, man, and hope this really is helpful for you and you get something you can really use.
Yeah, for sure.
Holy moly. So, one last note on our sponsors. If you use the code EVERYDAY, Covercraft will give you free shipping in the U.S. Griot's Garage will give you 10% off your order. So go to those sites if you're ordering from there, and then, of course, shop for your used car to you know, try to nullify the disease on auto tempest as well.
Do what we do when we're, you know, hunting for cars for your debates.
Which is pretty much what you did all afternoon. You were prepping for this debate, weren't you?
Yeah, I was, before we got on air, I was telling Paul that, you know, I think I've taken a lot more notes this time than I ever have.
Glad to hear it. Welcome to the prep. Yeah. I mean, we take notes, we make, yeah, suggestions, all... It's actually quite a bit.
It's almost another job just for...
Welcome. Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, I thought we could transition a little bit over to the Geneva Motor Show, which I said is going on right now, and this is one of the biggest motor shows on the planet. I mean,
yeah,
everybody shows up to this.
And not only that, they come swinging hard, and they... just pull out all the stops and all the beautiful cars and some really wonky ones as well. But they don't come to you know, just lollygag. They're not messing around here.
Yeah, they're bringing the noise, bringing their A game for sure. So I want to ask you about things that stuck out. I mean, I know you come more from the wrenching on it yourself and muscle car sort of. That's who you are. I mean,
yeah,
I thought the T-shirt
like
you had on was an Iron Maiden T-shirt, but that's not the case.
No, it's a Muse shirt.
Okay. Either way, I thought, all right, so you're like wrenching on it. So I'm just kind of wondering what your perspective is. Talk about your favorites. Talk about things that stuck out to you. I mean, of course, there's a bunch of weird stuff. The Sbarro guy, you know, he's been doing stuff, crazy stuff.
Mansory oddness.
Years and years. Lots of tuners. I still don't understand Liberty Walk. I don't get it. I don't like it.
No.
It doesn't add. Honestly, it's a big distraction for me. But, yeah, what are some things that were really the highlights that stood out for you?
I think what the one that really stood out the most was I really liked the new Rimac, the 2C C2.
Sure, yeah. Everybody's been waiting for that, and they have a giant fire extinguisher in the car now. So
yeah, that was, I think, one of the ultimate trolls because, you know, and if, I don't know if you noticed, but on the strap holding the fire extinguisher in place, it has stamped into it, in case of hill climb, extinguish fire.
Yeah, this is actually tooled into the leather.
Yeah.
Beautifully.
Yeah, I loved that. That was just hilarious.
That
to
is
me.
The ultimate trolling right there.
But the equivalent of like 2,000 horsepower is what they're claiming, and it's going to be stupid fast, and I think it looks great.
Oh my gosh. All right, so you're liking that one.
And it's also funny, the first two that kind of stood out to me were both electric cars, and here I am, Mr. You know, American Muscle. And
yeah.
Granted,
you are, life's too short to be concerned about which octane you put in, right?
Well, I do.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, anyways. I liked the Jaguar I-Pace. They finally released a price, and they're starting at 70 grand.
Yeah, I was going to ask, is it about 70?
Uh-huh. 70 grand is what they're starting at, which is... it said 10 grand under the Model X. I don't follow Tesla all that, not the Model X anyways, all that closely.
Well, that's
but
the
that's
base,
probably the, yeah, that's probably
barely
the base one.
Welcome to Tesla Model X's. Fully loaded, they're 150.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
So you could buy two.
I think that's a little deceiving with that. But
that's on my list, as a matter of fact. I mean, finally, congratulations, a car that is proving you can have a visually compelling interior.
Yeah.
Honestly. It's the opposite of what Tesla is. It still has its screens and stuff, but I really like the I-Pace.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with it. And I hope it solidifies the Jag brand even more than just such a niche car manufacturer.
Yeah.
I hope that's what it does. I hope people gravitating towards the X will take a hard look at the I-Pace.
Yeah, and they're not a very big car either. We've seen them at the auto show. I think they're about the appropriate size.
I mean, with the popularity that Todd and I are talking about all the time, the CUV class, I think it's well marketed, produced. The design brief is well constructed, I'll say.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to... It's easy to keep drawing and keep going. Simple is very difficult. I mean, look at Apple products versus name another laptop manufacturer. They're all kinds of... weird things,
especially the ones meant for gamers.
Yeah, why is it like that? You know, and I understand the gaming market is entirely different, but simple is hard to do. Anyway, keep going.
The other two that I noted, the BMW M8 Grand Coupe.
Yes,
I thought was a really good looking car.
Yes, I do like that one too.
As far as, you know, stylistically, I think it was fantastic looking.
Yeah, I feel like they're finding their exterior next generation voice.
Yeah,
but the interiors are still just... I'm not all the way there yet.
Yeah, BMW's interiors have kind of been the same for the past two decades.
Agreed. I feel like they're just kind of trapped in a stylistic language that they can't break out of.
Yeah.
Or they're not willing to break out of.
Yeah. And then the other one that stood out to me, that it was officially unveiled at Geneva, but we've kind of seen it already, and that's the Ferrari 488 Pista.
Yes. Are you a Ferrari guy?
Not necessarily.
I mean, not given your druthers.
I always liked older Ferraris.
Okay. I do too.
I've one of my favorite Ferraris has been the Maranello for a lot of years.
Really?
I thought those are pretty good looking cars. I'd love to own one.
Okay. All right.
But
So you like those?
I do. The 488 I think was a good looking car to begin with, and then they put all this aero and all kinds of madness on it, and it looks killer.
Yeah, it actually looks pretty good. Although, yeah, there's others I'd take, of course.
Well, yeah, it's not my first choice, but it's, you know, Ferrari.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I have a laundry list of cars that stuck out to me. Of course, topping the list is the Roof CTR Yellowbird and the SCR. So these are actually not Porsche 911s.
No.
It is the company Alois Roof. Actually, it was Alois and Uwe Gimbala who actually were kind of doing competing companies, although they ended up being friends. One kind of focused more on aero, another kind of focused more on engines and tuning, but then Gimbala's gone a different direction, and Roof is still around.
They've been pretty quiet the last couple of years, but they're making a comeback, it seems like.
Yeah, they're very unique, and they're not the Singer by 911 or 911 by Singer or, you know, a bunch of other sort of rebuilds, even though I want a Singer desperately.
Oh, yeah.
They definitely have their own unique look, and they've always started with the Porsche 911 body in white and then built it out from there, but now this is all carbon. This is kind of considered their own car, even though it is a 911 shape.
Yeah.
But I am all about these cars. The want is very, very strong.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I said it last year when they showed it the first time, the Yellowbird. I don't like the lights. The modernized, old-style lights, they just don't work for me on that car.
I had a calendar, like a wall calendar, as a kid. And it had the AMG Hammer. I mean, we're talking late 80s.
Yeah.
It had the Hammer in there. It had the original 87 Yellowbird in there. It had,
that was a hairy car.
Oh, Koenig Ferraris and Lister Jags and all these killer cars. And I honestly wish I still had that calendar.
Yeah, it sounds like an interesting one.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that original Yellowbird was what really pushed me over the edge.
Yeah.
I mean, that and building testers models as a kid, but still. All right.
I didn't care for the interior of the new Roofs, though. I think it's,
I suppose they look, it's fine. It's Alcantara,
it's
everywhere.
Everything Alcantara. It's just too much. It's a little too much.
Define too much.
Well, you know, the roof liner is Alcantara. The A-pillar's Alcantara. The carpet looks like it's Alcantara.
I'm not seeing a problem.
The dash and the dash pad and everything is just, you get in and you're wearing a bathrobe.
Okay, all right, I see that. But yeah, the Roof products, of course. Sticking with Porsche, we'll get through Porsche very briefly. The Mission E Cross Turismo. Did you see this thing?
Yes.
What do you think?
That's ugly.
You think it's ugly?
Hideous. I don't even know if I like the idea of it.
It's a concept.
Yes, it is a concept. But basically, it's a Panamera Sport Turismo.
Which I love,
by the way. A great-looking car.
Yeah.
And then they jacked it up, so it's like Audi Allroad kind of ride height.
It is.
With knobby-looking tires.
Yeah, it's got the fender flares.
And then they put the Mission E front end on it, and kind of, it doesn't work for me at all.
I mean, it works very well as a sketch, but so do all sketches, right?
Right.
I'm very intrigued by this, and I guess the biggest part of me is enthralled that Porsche is pushing so hard in new directions like this. They're not resting in their laurels. They're not, you know, we're just all about 911s. The fact that they still are developing and creating 911s is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the fact that their portfolio is so broad and all these cars are genuinely Porsche cars and subscribing to the ethos and, you know, all that stuff that Porsche is, that's what I love about it. I agree that it's not what you traditionally think. Wow, that's a Porsche?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm warming to it. I'm getting used to it. But check out this Mission E Cross Turismo.
Don't get me wrong. I love the concept of it. I love the idea. It's just I don't like the way they styled it.
You don't like the execution, essentially?
No, the front end particularly, anyways.
Would the color make a difference for you? And I ask because color can really influence your decision, unfortunately, for good or for bad.
I don't know. I'd have to see it in other colors, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just wondering. I like that. But then, of course, the green 911 GT3 facelift.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
money.
That really does it for
that
me.
That is money.
There's a bunch of others here, too. I'm going to put down all the Formula E racers. I am increasingly intrigued with Formula E and the fact that a lot of auto manufacturers are gravitating and now participating in that. Some have left Le Mans, actually, and going after Formula E. Some have left Formula One or were not considering that anymore and going into Formula E.
Yep.
I'm intrigued by this. And yes, it does affect the, I will say, the trickle-down technology. I mean, Formula One and Le Mans, I would say, are the two motorsports that actually have trickle-down technology to road cars. Those are probably at the pinnacle. IndyCar considers themselves entertainment, as does NASCAR.
Yeah.
I mean, most racing series are really for entertainment. But here is Formula E that is pushing so hard in this direction, and the development, I think, will see a dearth of manuals in the future, unfortunately. It's just kind of the way powertrains are going, but I do love the tech. I mean, you know me. I'm over here with the, I just want a rear-wheel drive, manual transmission car.
Especially with a Porsche badge on it.
Especially with a Porsche badge, of course. And then the latest, newest, hottest tech, and I think there's just going to be this broad gap in between.
Yeah.
And car manufacturers are going to be trying everything. But anyway, I'm fascinated by the Formula E racers, as I am the Toyota Supra concept. I mean, right now it's the GR Supra concept, and then next year apparently will be the full brand new Supra in conjunction with the new BMW Z4. I don't quite know the specs. I haven't read everything, and we don't know all the specs yet.
They haven't released everything yet.
And so back to my comment about Formula E, I don't know that the Toyota Supra will have a manual transmission.
It's looking like it's not. I've seen both ways, that yet. But it looks like it's not going to.
I wonder if that is a genuine mistake. I'm all for pushing towards the future, but I wonder if that is a mistake on Toyota's part. I know the 86 Twins have the manual.
Yeah.
I know they've gone that direction. The price has to be really in a sweet spot for enthusiasts. I mean, pretty much everybody listening.
Rumors are about 50, I think, is what I've heard.
I mean, that's the upper end, I'd say.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go too much more than that.
My problem is with it, I think it looks great. You take away the wide body and the big spoiler, and you've got yourself the production car look, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it looks pretty close to what the FT1 concept looked like from a few years back.
True.
Which I thought was a gorgeous car.
I've seen that at the Calte Design Studio in California. And they've got it sitting in their lobby, and it's just, wow, make that. Make that.
Yeah, it's fantastic looking. And, you know, they're working with BMW with the engines. It's supposed to be the new Z4 or Z5, as some are calling it.
Right.
But when you compare, okay, go back to the 90s, and the Supra was competitors with the NSX and the Skyline GTR.
Right.
Those were its big Japanese competitors.
True.
And look at where those cars are today. The NSX has 560 whatever horsepower.
And
the GTR is right up there too.
Of most people.
And it's
kind of was the NSX, but not really.
But here we are with the Supra, and they had 320 horsepower back then.
Yes.
And rumors are suggesting 330 to 350.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, well, that's nice and everything, but this is more of a new. It's more of what the FRS should have been in the first place.
I feel that way, but I'm glad the FRS was so obtainable.
Yeah.
And aspirational for most people, despite the lack of power.
Yeah, but that's where my problem lies, was with the name. Because
you mean resurrecting the name and not...
Yeah, you're resurrecting this...
Not pushing it so much farther.
...hallowed name that... But it's not anywhere close to what its old competitors are now.
No.
Now, if you just call it the FT1 like it was originally, then I think it's great. I love it.
Yeah. So then what should the next Supra have been?
Probably more along the lines of, the GTR, where it's, 500-something horsepower.
Like way up there, you're thinking.
Big turbo V6.
But that means the price is out of reach of most people.
The price would be $100,000 plus, for sure.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
I don't know. Maybe people wouldn't buy it if it was that expensive.
I mean, it's Toyota. Think about it. The 1979 Supra was the Supra Celica Coupe.
Yeah.
They actually used both names on the same car.
Yep.
and then they split their separate ways. The Celica still could make a return. It could be, say, between the 86 and the Supra, but that means the Supra would have to be pushed up further. But the Supra was all about being obtainable. It just, the NSX never started life like that.
So maybe what they do is this first version could be a Celica, and then you make a hot version, and you have a Celica Supra again.
I mean, the Celica has so much racing history, too.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, they could have brought that back.
More so with rally racing than anything. But
very, very much so. But, I mean, I can see your point, but I like that at least they're doing something to feed the addiction.
Yeah.
Instead of just Camrys and minivans and Corollas.
Oh, totally. And I'm being totally nitpicky. It's like the...
As am I, but we're here to nitpick.
Yeah,
life isn't fun
like
if you can't nitpick.
The Dodge Chargers, how they're four doors. They were never four doors back in the day. I'm sorry, but they weren't.
And so, now everybody's fine with it.
Yeah, it's just
I'm sure we're all going to be fine with it, but yeah. I wonder if it doesn't have a manual, will that hurt some sales? I mean, they can look at sales numbers and make a case for not providing a manual transmission. They can.
Well, here's
the
thing.
But from a perception, that's what I want. Whether or not they sell a bunch of them or not, it's all about perception that, hey, Toyota's back as a driver's company.
Yeah.
That's what I want. We'll see. We'll see.
Well, and then think of the GTR when they first came out. They couldn't build them fast enough, and they're not manuals.
Yeah, yeah,
granted,
true.
They were the supercar killer.
But, and no longer. I mean, they're way up there, but I love that it pushed the pack, and then the pack caught up, and then now they're being surpassed. And
they need to, you know, redo it now. It's been, what, 10 years?
Well, yeah, just
almost.
About, hell, gosh,
nine.
You're right, just about.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's time for a new GTR, everyone.
Wow, I never thought about that. All right, so yeah, we'll look forward to the new GTR, too. What else? The Alpine A110 Pure from Renault.
I like them.
Oh,
I didn't really look too much into it.
Lots
just because
of love.
This
is the next Cayman. This is the next.
Yeah.
Todd and I both love the mid-engine thing.
Yeah.
I know you do too. I think you're still jonesing for a Cayman at some point.
Yeah.
You keep sending me links. You keep texting me links like,
I'm bad.
What about this Cayman? What about this salvaged title or rebuilt title 911 or whatever it was you sent me the other day?
Yeah, there was a 911 I found. Yes, it was a rebuilt title, but it was kind of weird because in the description it said rebuilt title, but it wasn't collision damage. It said right on the Carfax, non-collision damage.
Right, it was the IMS.
Yeah, it claimed to be
incident.
An IMS bearing.
Yeah.
So it's got a new engine in it.
Fine, put a new engine in it and drive it.
So,
yeah,
it was,
I could
it was
see
pretty
that.
Cheap for what it was.
I could see
I
that.
Know.
Your wife is listening and she's rolling her eyes at you.
Probably.
I can hear it from here. What else? A couple more on here. There's, of course, the Polestar 1 Coupe that is intriguing the daylights. This is beautiful.
That's a good-looking car, yeah.
To be built in China is my understanding, but I hope for massive sales on that. I hope it brings the GT category really back to life in a brand new way.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're talking about the 8 Series doing for BMW. I mean, that was... Gosh, Porsche needs to throw in the 929 in the mix or something.
Something, yeah.
Come on. But we've got the Polestar 1 now.
The Polestar 1 reminds me of the old, the P1800? Is that what they were called?
Yeah. You can see hints.
I can kind of see the hints there.
Yeah, I can see that. And then finally, what about this this Honda Sports EV Coupe? I'm looking at it.
That one.
It's very intriguing. It's almost retro looking. I mean, it does have some retro things about it, but I say retro by virtue of relatable shapes. You know, like a hot dog shape or, you know, circles or the squircle kinds of shapes, the headlight and the taillights.
Uh-huh.
But things relate to each other, and I look at that as sort of the next, you know, pulling it along back to what I loved about the Honda S2000. And then using it as a platform showcase for new technology. I like that part about it. Plus, it's a small, lightweight, appears to be a driver's car.
Yeah.
And it appears to be somewhat affordable that, you know, we could all love and enjoy and sort of the next coming of an S2000 maybe or the bones of something like that. That's why it intrigued me. It doesn't have to be all McLarens and Lamborghinis and the, you know, the nutso stuff. Koenigsegg exhibited in Geneva, as did Brabus, and everybody brought their hot stuff. But, of course, that's where the market's at. That's where a lot of rich people actually go shopping. Have you found it yet?
Yeah.
What do you think of this thing?
It's interesting. I don't know the details. I'm just pulling it up. But it actually was unveiled a while earlier this year, I think.
It was. It was. It's just finally made an appearance, actually, in the flesh here at the motor show. But yeah, it's like Mazda MX-5. It's Miata-sized.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I think...
I'm not sure I like the C-pillar roofline, but you know, the idea sounds great.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're pushing on some retro-looking things here. They're, you know, they're trying things, I would say, but I just look at this as it appears to be harkening back to its Honda roots and then you know, using, as I
especially
said,
that
showcase.
Front end.
Yeah, very much so. But relatable shapes, though. I'm kind of digging this thing. Just seeing it again kind of reminded me of that. And, oh, yeah, those roof cars. Yay, yay, yay. Honestly, I just... You're going to laugh at me because I woke up this morning thinking about something that I've never actually really entertained before. And it's the Earth Roamer. You familiar with these? The Earth Roamers that are built in Colorado? They're on huge F-550 and F-750 platforms.
Oh, yes.
Todd and I saw one at SEMA. It was their $1.5 million F-750
Jeez.
Motorhome Earth Roamer. I woke up this morning and for some reason Earth Roamer popped in my head. And I dreamed of, you know, just chucking it all and disappearing for...
Going off the grid for a week.
Yeah, all of that stuff. It's got solar. Year. It's got all this stuff. They're so beautiful. They're so well crafted, so well thought out. They're so expensive.
Yeah.
Houses
a little bit.
Are cheaper. Two houses are cheaper than this thing. Anyway, so I'm dreaming about Earth Roamers for some strange reason. So if you have an Earth Roamer or you know of somebody who's an Earth Roamer, if anybody from Earth Roamers listening, I love them. I'd love to have one someday and just go cruising. It could be the track support vehicle.
There you go.
At any track that we go to for racing. It could be just get away for a couple of weeks.
It's only $5 million. I mean,
they're 1.5.
Oh, 1.5.
And the base ones start at like 450,000, which is...
That's chump change.
Also a house, but still.
Chump change.
Yeah. Anyway, so Earth Roamers are on my brain for some reason. I'm all about them. I'm in love with that life, that get away, just disappear kind of living, I guess. I'm just very intrigued with that right now.
It's not for me, but there you go.
Thought about it all day long for some reason. All right, so anything that you hated about, that came up that you hated about Geneva?
Couple things.
Okay.
So the McLaren Senna GTR.
What?
I think it's hideous.
What?
And it looks worse as a race car. I'm sorry. Some people love it. I think it's just ugly. But
sacrilege.
I will say every single McLaren that has come out, with the exception of the 12C, when they came out, I thought was ugly. And most of them since they've grown on me.
What about the 720? What did you think when you first laid eyes on it?
I didn't like it.
What?
I like it now, but I didn't like it at
the
time.
So it grew on you.
It's grown on me a lot.
So might
the
Mission-y
one in person has made
Turismo,
a big difference.
The Sport Turismo grow on you? Would you leave the door cracked for
that
possibility?
I always do with cars. There's so many cars now you see in pictures and you think, ew, but then you see it in person, like, oh, those lines make a lot more sense.
In person. And I will say aerodynamics played a huge part in the Senna's development.
Oh, yeah.
So reserve, you know, grain of salt.
But for now, I think it's hideous.
Okay. Yikes. But
I'm also not really... I'm kind of up in the air with the AMG GT4.
Are you? I'm intrigued with this.
I think it looks great. I like the idea, but at the same time, it's like we've already got the CLS.
Yes, but isn't it developed to get rid of the CLS or move on past it?
I don't know. It could be. I didn't look that deep into
it. That was my understanding. I like the concept, even though people are saying, well, Mercedes has built itself a Panamera. Yay. Even though...
Kind of.
I guess, I suppose, but I like the concept. They had a car to start with that they derived this car from.
Yeah.
Thinking a lot of the styling elements on there. I'm really digging this thing.
Oh, you can see them clearly, too.
I bet you the proportions will change your mind. When we see this thing in person, the proportions will change your mind.
Yeah, like I said, I think it looks great. I'm just trying to figure out what the purpose is since we've already got a similar car that they build themselves.
I mean, Mercedes, they have the new A-Class coming out. They've got all these models coming out. So they're playing the BMW game because they
can. What can we sell to these three people?
There's an untapped market niche. There's people with dollars that we need, so we'll spend millions on tooling and... Wait, what was the business decision?
Then the other one that really stuck out to me was the Lexus UX 250. I don't know if you saw that.
The UX 250. I did not.
It's based off the Toyota CHR, so it's their small crossover.
Because the CHR is so huge.
Yeah, and well, it has the worst Predator grill to date. It is enormous.
You're right. I did see this. I just kind of scrolled on past. Why? Oh yeah, yeah. I remember. Didn't this come out earlier?
It may
or
have.
In Tokyo?
This is the first I'd seen it. It's just I saw it and about gagged. Sorry, Lexus.
I've seen better executions of this Predator grill. I think
it works on some of their models, but not all of them.
Honestly, I'm kind of digging it, but you cannot argue that they have firmly differentiated themselves in the market.
Yeah.
Like BMW with kidney grills, Mercedes is finally doing that now. So, what is that? Okay, Mercedes. Yep. Kia with the tiger nose, all these kinds of corporate looks. You cannot mistake it whether you like it or not.
No, that's true. It's definitely a corporate phase.
Yeah, I thought I saw this in Tokyo for some reason, but I could be wrong. But I actually kind of dig elements about this. It's rather aggressive, but anyway.
It is aggressive. That is all I will give them that, is that Lexus has differentiated themselves with their styling. And they've you know, whether you like it or not, it's flashy.
Yeah.
And it stands out. And you, like you said, you know what it is, and oh, there's a Lexus.
At least they're not Mercedes copycats like they started, right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what else? Anything else that stuck out at Geneva for you?
No, that kind of finishes me up for Geneva.
All right. Well, there's, of course, a lot more to discuss, but we will take a break for now, and we will come right back. We've got a great debate after the break. If you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what it stands for, but what does that actually mean? You know, the same goes for invoice, list price, and dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody.
All you're really looking for is a price that actually means something. Introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car you want, including fees, accessories, everything, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of your home.
And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Well, because True Car shows you what other people paid for the same car you want. And your certified dealers already know this. So they set their true price competitively so they can win your business.
So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features aren't available in all states.
I can't believe it.
That Gerald is presenting the quarterly budget report with finger puppets.
Look, here comes a 1.7% decrease in fixed overhead. Hello, everybody.
No. I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on my car insurance with Geico.
Who are you? The projected increase in organic Q3 revenue. Hooray!
Believe it. Geico could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And we're back, and we've got a great car debate here from Emily and her husband.
Yes.
They are in Wisconsin, kind of up near Road America. Blackhawk Farms and what was the other track? Great Lakes Dragway.
Yeah, the Dragway, so, yeah.
Centrally located between three great racetracks, and they have quite a conundrum, as they put it, and quite the garage to go along with it.
Yeah, this is great. This is actually going to be hard, but I have an answer, Emily, and there's a reason that Chance is here that corresponds with us doing the debate. The second reason is... because of the final choice I think you should pursue that Chance doesn't know about yet.
No, not yet.
But the first reason is because Emily and her husband own two Lotuses.
Yep.
In a lease and an Exige, and I thought you and I could speak dispassionately about Lotus, even though we love Lotus, but we could sit here and speak without Todd here. Of course, he's listening and grinning right now. But actually, she's asking, should we sell one of the Lotuses? The Lotai? Who says that? I have too many Lotuses.
And here's the thing. Both of these Lotuses are modified. One of them's pretty heavily modified.
Well, just about everything they own.
Yeah, they're all pretty seriously modified.
That's a thread. Keep that in mind as you're listening to this debate.
Yes. So here's what they've got. They've got a 2016 GTI, 6-speed manual, performance pack, APR Stage 2, and other mods. That is her daily driver.
Yeah, that's Emily's daily, yep.
2013 WRX STI, also manual, Cobb Stage 2, plus other mods. That's his daily.
Yeah.
They got a 2006 Corvette. It's modded for drag racing, so it is an automatic.
And Lee, I like how you write. It's modded for casual drag racing at the track and getting me to school fast.
Like
yes. That.
Then there's a 2005 Lotus Elise in chrome orange, highly modified, BOE Rev 400 supercharger, etc. And the 2007 Lotus Exige S in Krypton Green, which is probably my favorite color on those things.
Is it really?
Probably. Really low miles, BOE torque, 300 tune, and supporting mods.
Everything and they own is completely modified.
Yeah.
And when we say school, Emily is a special education teacher, and her husband is a tool and die maker.
Can I just say, when I first read that, I didn't finish the sentence, and I just saw my husband is a tool. I was like, oh.
And die maker. Yes. Yes. You got to keep reading.
Yes.
Skimming does nobody any good. All right. So they've had a lot of previous cars, and I want you to note here, they have had 3 Mustangs.
Yep.
Which kind of ties you being the Mustang guy.
All of them were forced induction cars.
Yes. Her husband loves to wrench. And that is, again, that's the big takeaway here. Just keep that in mind as you're listening to all this.
Yeah. So... They're trying to decide what to do. Either keep them as they are, ditch the STI for a different fun daily, ditch the Exige for a different summer weekend car, or any combination of those.
Who says I'm going to ditch one of my Lotuses?
I know, right? Apparently
who
they do.
Does that?
But they're for sure keeping the GTI, the Elise, and the Corvette.
Yes, those 3 are definitely staying, she says, because the GTI is her daily, they love the Elise, and the Corvette is the drag car. But what's up for grabs here are the Exige, as Chance said, and the STI. Everything's negotiable here. And what Emily suggests is when we ditch both cars, the combined income and adding a little bit is $90,000. So that is the budget that we have to work with. We can break that up however we want.
Yep.
But it actually has to be 2 cars. At first I thought, well, why does it have to be 2? What if we just got 1? Because they still want a fun summer daily car, and her husband needs a get-to-work car.
Yeah.
So you actually kind of have to choose 2 cars, which is crazy.
I did think, though, if you really wanted to, you could get a 997 Turbo with PDK and just be done. You can get a nice one for that.
Yes.
It'd be a great all-around car.
That's very true.
Great
I like
for commuting,
that.
And I knew you'd like that. But, yeah, you can find them for $75 to $90 all day long. I looked earlier, and so you could have that and have your beater car for winter if you really wanted to, but you can just drive the turbo through snow too.
Yeah, okay. You know how there's always a twist to everybody's story?
Uh-huh.
Here's the twist. Both of them are feeling stale towards their current fleet.
Yeah, explain that one.
Nobody listening feels stale towards your fleet, I guarantee you, but okay. They're out of garage space in their current home, and they're looking to buy a new home with a bigger garage, of course. Yeah. But they are car nuts who hang out with all their car friends, and they run a monthly cars and coffee event in their community. So they love the straight line thing. They love the track and the fun weekend drivers and twisty roads, everything in between. So it's kind of like they're the ambassadors of the car disease in their area, running this, you know, this cars and coffee club. And it's almost like they need a car to kind of be the big dogs, even though they already have the collection that you could argue that is already that.
It's pretty impressive.
They need to roll up and be the go-to couple that, you know, rolls in heavy. And what will that be? So this is the big twist, $90,000.
Yeah, and I know Paul's really excited about this one. He told me right when I got here. He's like, I have one. I this is it.
I do. I'm going to tease it. I'm going to work towards it too. But I want to hear what you've got.
Yeah, so they said their top choices are an Alpha 4C, Mustang GT and GT350s, the new Supra that we talked about earlier.
Right.
Another Corvette, maybe a newer one.
We own multiple Lotuses. You know, why not multiple Corvettes?
Then the Alfa Romeo Giulia Quadrifoglio. They said absolutely no GTRs. That was the only...
Which probably means Skylines include. Are out too, right?
That would be my assumption, yeah.
Yeah. So they're asking, Emily's actually saying, she says, what should we do? Help. All right. Curious.
So yeah, I have a few, I kind of went a little nuts here because with this
nuts
kind of,
is good.
This
I
kind
mean,
of
we're already
budget,
in Nutsville.
With this kind of budget, the sky is almost the limit, really. You can have a lot of fun for $90,000.
Yeah.
So if you want like just straight up fun cars, I mentioned the 911 Turbo, but you know, you're near three racetracks. You can get 997 GT3s for around $80,000 and have enough to get a cheap runaround car.
Oh, GT3 for $80,000 and a cheap Civic.
And that's what I'm starting with.
Okay. All right. So, all right. Good.
They mentioned Mustang GT350s. You can get the GT350 R's even within this budget and still have money left over.
Are they still marked up?
Technically, yes. That is actually something we forgot to mention, is they did say they want for the fun car to be something that will retain value similarly to the Elise.
Yes, and it's got to be special, too. It's got to be, you know, what is this?
The GT350R fits that perfectly.
It does. Well, I know you love that car.
Yeah, I really want one. I know you do. It's bad. Think Paul with Porsches. That's me with the GT350R.
Pretty much.
But you can get those. I found some as low as 73.
That's low.
So there's still.
What do I have to do to get you into this GT350R?
Yeah, right. There's still the R's are still above MSRP, even used.
Are they really?
Even used, they are. Because I know you're checking several prices. Several in the 100,000 range that are brand new, and even the used ones only have like 2,000 miles on them.
Yeah, so people bought them as investment cars and then dumped them.
But if you wanted one that you can use a little more regularly and you know, save some money and get another runaround car, you can get the GT350s for under 50 now.
You can. They're just not the R.
They're not the R's. And they are typically the base model car that doesn't have the Magna Ride or the Track Pack or anything like that. But you can find them. But the point is, you can also get this one. I think you'll like, and it's a bit of a stretch. I did find a Cayman GT4 for $92.
Oh,
might be able to talk him down to $90. Hence, putting it on my list. 90.
But then you've spent your budget, your entire budget on one car.
Yeah, there is
I'm
that
not complaining,
problem.
But she and her husband might.
Right, but they've got other cars too. That was kind of my mentality there, and they want to save garage space. Which helps him there as well.
You see what he's doing, Emily. Yes.
So I'm being cheeky here.
All right. Keep going.
The other one I found it's a little bit over budget, but it's really intriguing. And I don't know if you've ever recommended it before. You've recommended the lower version of this car before, but not this one.
Okay.
I found an Aston Martin V12 Vantage for $94,000.
Lush.
26,000 miles on it.
Okay.
But it's also over budget.
But, it is.
So you could
find... What, have you been listening to me lately or something?
Yeah, I have.
Okay.
You can find V8 Vantages all day long for 40 to 60. And have plenty of money left over to get a newer STI or WRX or...
Sure.
Whatever you'd like to daily.
Sure. Okay.
Another option I came up with... I have a lot of options, can you tell?
Yeah, you are all over the map, but it's good.
I had the new Corvette Grand Sport...
Which means two Corvettes in the stable.
Yeah, but they had two Elises in the stable, two Lotuses. And they did mention newer Corvettes.
That's true.
You can get them in auto or manual.
There's already a precedent set.
And I did think Z06, you can do two, but figured the Grand Sport's probably the better all-arounder.
One for drag, one for track.
Yeah.
And the license plates are accordingly labeled. Yeah.
But the one I'm particularly proud of is I found a Ferrari F430 for $75,000.
Are you
with low miles.
Me? Is it salvage or
no.
Is it a whole car?
Whole car, clean title. It's in resale red.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I wasn't expecting that. It's genuinely
it's a 2006.
F430.
Oh, it does have an accident on its record. I don't know how bad it was. It doesn't really say. It's got 50,000 miles on it.
Is the front of the car gone?
It the pictures, it looks great. So
are the master of sleuthing out these rebuilt titles or salvage title cars.
I usually try to ignore them, but sometimes you find the right one. And I'll be honest, I do avoid the salvage title cars like a plague.
Okay,
but
all right.
If it's got an accident on it, depending on how bad it is, it may or may not matter.
Yeah, so you're ending up there. You're
so
at the Ferrari?
My last thought is way into the weeds, and I thought,
well,
you're close to a racetrack, several of them.
Yeah, great ones.
And for this budget, you could easily buy a spec Miata, a truck, and a trailer.
and a lot of race gas.
I found several spec Miatas for $12,000 to $15,000.
Oh, easy.
You can get a nice truck and trailer for that and have 2 years worth of track days.
And tires.
And tires. And actually, this one of the spec Miatas I found came with two spare engines for $12,000.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's that's what I'll leave you with. That's just something to think about.
Okay, pretty good. I didn't see that coming, but I'm hoping that this will be a twist for you too, Emily. I'm liking what Chance said here. And I kind of started in the same way. We have to kind of start somewhere and get momentum.
Yeah.
So I thought about Audi R8 Cabriolets and an inexpensive Civic. But yeah, I didn't like that
I thought
much.
That too.
Did you?
And kind of was like, yeah.
I didn't like that very much.
They don't hold value and just... Eh.
No,
great
and I
cars,
thought about,
but...
you know, Carrera 4Ss from 2007 or 60K.
Yeah, thought that too.
Okay, okay. How about a BMW M2? You know, nice ones are 55 to 60.
Yep.
Which led me to a 1M, BMW 1M, which is an exquisite, unique, rare car, but it doesn't look like it. It does to the enthusiast, but to most people, it just looks like a small car.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept going from there, and the safe and predictable choice for my recipe number one for you, Emily, is the 2014 Porsche 991 911 Cabriolet Carrera S for 72, only 40,000 miles, PDK, because her husband needs an automatic transmission.
Yeah, for the commute.
So this is the fun, but then you could go get a 2013 or 2014 Audi A4 Quattro for 18. That's the commute car. So you've got the Cabriolet, fun summer car, the commute car.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the safe.
And you can find both of those all day long within this range.
Yes, you can.
All day
long. One for 72, the other for 18. Okay, so right at 90. But there's no modding to be done on either of those cars. And remember, all five cars that they have been modified, and her husband loves to wrench.
Yeah, that is something that I struggled with finding the right mix.
Right, so
mix.
By choosing that option, you're actually taking the love of wrenching away from him.
Right.
So I can't do that. Then I went to, for my recipe number two, a Lotus Evora. I thought, that's a more rare car. It's keeping with the Lotus theme. Get one for 50 or 60 and then go get an A4 or, you know, Honda Civic or something like that.
Yeah.
Also safe-ish, kind of boring. Not that Lotus
Evoras are boring. Not that it's boring, but Evoras are boring.
Again,
good thing Todd's not here.
Not as much modding. And so here's the deal. This is what I think you should do. You need to go classic.
I thought of doing that too, actually. I did.
This is why you're here. And I went immediately to a Shelby Cobra replica.
Ooh, yeah.
For 50 or 60.
Yeah.
But that's not the car that I'm choosing.
Hmm.
I'm thinking about you both taking on a project car that you both will love and come up with some custom paint job.
I think I know where you're going now.
I thought of this car from Factory 5 Racing, which is a Type 65 or the Daytona Coupe replica, that you could either buy or build. But guess what? You can wrench on it till the end of time and modify the daylights out of this car. And add to that, say those are 50-60, add a 996 Porsche 911 Carrera 4S for $30,000-$35,000 is your daily.
Yeah.
You've got the Porsche because neither of you have owned a Porsche ever in your list of pre-owned cars. And then this is the special car that you roll hot up to the Cars and Coffee Club.
Yeah,
in.
Yeah, there you go.
The
yeah.
Type 65, the Daytona Coupe replica. Custom paint, whatever that engine is, side pipes. I mean, Todd and I saw one at SEMA. It was designed by or built by a guy who was formerly a fighter pilot. And the gear shift lever was, of course, the stick out of an F-18.
Yeah.
So it had all the stuff on it, the buttons, you know, rocket launchers, everything. Super cool. Type 65, Daytona Coupe. You can modify it. You can either build or buy.
That's
paint
I will
it how
say,
you want.
I will say that's a very slippery slope.
So it
the,
is.
The kits start, I forget what the coupes start at, but the Cobra kits start at like $15,000-$16,000, something like that. It's been a while since I looked. But
yeah.
Then you buy your engine and paint and everything else.
Saying,
it's a slippery slope. And
it's
might get
70,
more expensive
80
than you
maybe,
want to
but
be,
then
but,
Civic for the daily
but,
or something
yeah,
like that. But then you've got a Daytona Coupe.
Yeah.
I talk about eye-catching, different, you are the couple rolling up in that.
And then you find a Coyote V8 out of some wrecked car and put a blower on it,
exactly
do your thing.
Right.
And yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Chance used to work for Kirkham Cobras.
He knows
Fords. He's building a Restomod, Project Pony Up. I mean, he is the Ford Mustang guy. So What do you think of this idea?
That's actually a really, really great idea.
I'm kind of proud of it, but of course,
having worked for Kirkham, I'm a little biased, but you know those are out of the budget by far, and you don't build them yourself,
right?
So there is that, but no, they're fast, they're great cars. I would still love to own one, and you know, you build it yourself and make it your own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we have so many questions to get to. Emily and husband, hello. Hope that's helpful. Please let us know what happens. And if you're looking for a really great modded STI or Lotus Exige, you know who to contact.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll put you in touch with them. But like I said, we've got to get to questions. There's so many. I'm wondering, where did you start? Actually, there were a few for you, as a matter of fact, on here. Just refreshing the page briefly.
Yeah, I only saw one earlier that was directed specifically at me. I'll jump into that one right now, actually.
Yeah.
Scott Drell has been preparing me for this question all week.
Yes, he has.
Thank you. He asked me, you have a three-week all-expenses-paid vacation for you and a guest. Where are you going, and what are you and Paul going to do? And then in parentheses, sorry, I meant your wife.
Right.
But, yeah, I think I would love – well, I don't think. I would love to go to the Italian Riviera. And I've had this kind of road trip mapped out on Google for quite a while.
Really?
I won't remember it all, but start somewhere like Nice and then drive along the coast down to Rome.
Lovely.
Hit up Rome for a couple days. Then you can go up to, you know, stop at the – Maranello, go to Ferrari, Lamborghini,
yes.
Pagani.
Yes.
Maybe hit a racetrack on the way there or something. And then go up to, go up north and go hit Stelvio Pass.
Yeah.
Go through the mountains to, I can't think of what it's called. It's where, kind of near Mont Blanc, go through the mountains up in that area. And then loop your way back down through the Route Napoleon. And then back across to Nice.
Okay. Wow. Wow. Pretty nice. Dig that. Dig that. I'm looking for questions here. Destin Cade on Instagram is asking, does other people's perception influence the car you buy? In other words, would you still buy a car you loved if it was globally disliked or considered not an enthusiast car, not enthusiast enough? I'm going with yes, because... And the answer is, yes, I would still buy it. And perception matters, but if you love a car, that's the whole emotion behind what we're here for and what we do.
Yeah.
And what the disease is defined by is you bought it because you love it and it speaks to you.
I'm going to say I own three. So the Mustang, when they first came out, was a secretary's car, is what they were known for.
That's true.
Now they're known for hitting crowds, thanks to YouTube.
Right, any car show, Cars and Coffee.
Yeah, so I've got that to deal with.
Yeah, true.
And then the BRZ, you go look at any of our YouTube comments on any of the FRS BRZ pieces we've done. People say it's not a sports car, they're not all that. There's a lot of, you know, opinions on that too. They're not powerful enough, you know, you name it. And then our Boxster is a girl car.
Mm-hmm. Okay, or a Lemons car.
That's what people say.
Yeah, true, true.
So... there you go.
All right, good. What other questions stuck out to you here?
Ed Hayes asked, would you buy a PT Cruiser with a Hellcat motor?
I saw this.
Is the car so bad to begin with?
I'm
going to say yes. They're a terrible car to begin with. But you look at the styling with those things, and I've always thought this. I've always thought it would be fun, even when the Hemi first came out, to take a PT Cruiser. You know, they kind of look like the old Woody wagons from back in the 40s
anyways.
That
was the entire point, is the Brad Van.
Yeah.
The same designer did the HHR and the PT Cruiser.
And the HHR looked worse, if I'm honest.
If that's possible.
Yeah. But you take a PT Cruiser, convert it to rear-wheel drive, and put a Hemi motor in it, a V8, and
hot rod. It's got to be a Hellcat motor.
Hot rod the thing. Yeah, yeah. When I originally had the idea the Hellcat motor wasn't a thing. But that's how long I've thought that would be a cool idea. Would I actually do it? No, because that's just money down the drain and you'll never see it again. But it would be a fun idea and a great SEMA car.
Yeah, interesting. All right, what else is on here? Looking at, Mason writes to us. Mason E. is saying his significant other is refusing to support a vehicle purchase that he wants to make. However, in her defense, he's wanting to trade his much more fuel-efficient vehicle from mid-2000s Toyota Land Cruiser. There's somebody here, a guy here just not too far from Salt Lake, actually Heber City, I think is putting Chevy small blocks in Toyota Land Cruisers.
Oh, interesting.
And just making them run. He's not just, you know, they're not expensive. They're not doing the whole build. He's just dropping a reliable V8 in this thing. Anyway, pretty cool. So he's saying, you know, the Toyota Land Cruiser, not practical, but he wants the off-road camping. And he's got the Earth Roamer thing going on, too, it sounds like. So my suggestions, Mason, are for her to support your purchase is, if you go ahead with it, could you eventually save for, again, a very inexpensive, reliable commute car that will take the place? Could you say, you know what, buy this, and then I'm not going to do anything to it until that happens? Or could you plan a trip around, centered around the use of that car that she will enjoy, going to a place she would love, and it kind of combines both interests? I'm just saying, try to, you know, involve her.
Yeah, you definitely got to get her on board with that one. That's not always easy to do.
What are you saying?
That's not always easy to do.
Danger, Wilbur Robinson. Danger. Step carefully. Did you see Zacchaeus on here? He said, I showed a girl bring a trailer, and I scarred her for life.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
That was pretty clever.
Yeah, because we all look at bring a trailer constantly.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Benjamin Land on Instagram asks, are manual Honda Fits driver's cars? Haven't driven one, but I'm curious.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'd go as far as saying they're a driver's car, but they could be maybe this is probably a stretch, but like a Fiesta ST in disguise.
That's a bit of a stretch, but they are fun. And
I
really
say
useful.
That. Yeah, I say cheap. That because if you go watch Pirelli World Challenge, their touring car class is littered with Honda Fits.
Is it?
And they do really well. Really well.
Are they really hot? I mean,
they're stripped out, but they're not allowed to do anything to the power.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they're just super light.
Yeah. And I mean, they're going against like Ford Fiestas, Fiat 500s.
That's
and
right.
Similar cars
have
like
taken
that.
A bunch of photos of Fitz going, what on earth? Why are these fast?
Yeah. So I'll have to post one tomorrow or something. But
yeah.
I've got some of these Honda Fitz hitting the curbs at Utah Motorsports campus with both wheels way off the ground.
You're kidding me.
And it just looks hilarious.
Reminds me of the Volvo Wagon, the touring car class, you know, the
yeah.
British touring car championships.
Yeah, so
think
of that, but with a little brick. The wagon's already a brick, but just cut it in half. And that's what this looks like.
That's awesome. Well, Adam F. is on Facebook asking. He was saying that he's really hoping to hear from me on this as well. He's been curious about cars that we talk about that come in both rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive examples. And Adam, this is an excellent
question. It's a great question, yeah.
What he's asking about is the driving dynamics and performance, essentially the feel of the steering when you add all-wheel drive to the recipe. What happens? And he names cars like the M235, 335i, the Lexus IS models, the G37, all these cars. I mean, let's include Porsches in the mix when you go to the Carrera 4S. What does that do? You could generally say that you're adding weight and complexity to the front of the car where you want it to be more responsive and delightful. So therefore, a sweeping statement would be that, yes, the rear-wheel drive car will feel better. But I will bring a counterpoint to you with a car Todd and I recently drove, which is the Jaguar F-Type 400 Sport, only made for the 2018 model year. Both of us stepped away from the car and looked at each other and said, this car's all-wheel drive. Are you kidding me? It had one of the lightest ratios and feels, that the steering was very quick. It was kind of like an oversized Toyota 86.
Yeah.
Only by Jag, looks better, sounds better,
sure.
Is better.
Yeah.
More expensive, of course, but we were both absolutely astonished to find out this was an all-wheel drive car. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say the only experience I have with this was with the BMW 335i's, the E90, E90 version.
Sure.
I haven't driven any of them like hard on canyons or anything, but just driving around town, I noticed the steering is, I mean, BMW's has heavy steering to begin with from that era.
Yeah.
But the steering on the all-wheel drive versions were even heavier. Mm-hmm. So they just weren't quite as responsive and little slower. But I have heard, you can probably confirm this, but the 911S versus the 911 4S's, the 4S's usually feel way more planted.
They do, and you can feel, I hope it's not a placebo effect, that you're thinking, all right, I'm in the 4S, so I should feel a heavier weight and not as responsive steering. But it does exist. It is there, but I don't think to the degree that some people claim. I think it's still great, personally.
Sure.
But, you know, not everything's a Lotus Elise, and Todd's laughing right
that's
now.
That's true.
There was a question on here that I thought we could talk about. Oh, it was Mark B's question about the new Civic Si. He's saying a lot of people are disappointed with his car.
Yeah.
You were with us on the hot hatch or the lukewarm hatches segment, and we had that car. I'm just curious as to what you thought, because you've probably seen it. That is on Vimeo as one of our episodes from season 2.
Yep.
So you can go watch that on Vimeo, but I'm curious as to know what you thought about,
you know,
this car.
The one we drove, I mean, we had the Civic Sport hatchback, the Elantra. Was it the Elantra Sport?
Yes, it just
was. Just the GT?
It wasn't the GT Sport. It was just the GT.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we had the Mazda 3 Grand Touring.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of the three cars, the Civic was the only one with the manual. So that kind of had a placebo effect too, I think, on Todd. But
what are you saying?
Well, I remember watching the, and he says that the car was more fun to drive, and I think that was solely because it had a manual transmission.
Yeah.
My opinion, I think it was more fun to drive just because of the transmission.
And I'm genuinely asking.
The Civic, the one we drove, it was about as base as they get. So
yeah, and we were looking for it though.
It wasn't awesome, but I didn't have any complaints with it. I thought it was a fun car, and granted, it wasn't the Si. But I didn't have any problems with it. But I did. I think of the three, I put the Elantra in second, and the Mazda first. Granted, I've owned Mazdas, so a little biased.
Sure.
But the Elantra Sport, I think, was a great car, and they've come such a long ways over the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah, I agree with that.
They don't have the reputation that they deserve, I think. If that makes sense, they're a lot better than their reputation gives the because of their past.
Sure,
you know, they were the cheap, you know, here's a $9,000 car with here's some wind up windows.
If you're lucky,
yeah.
All right, so I think one more question for each of us before we wrap things up. I've got one here from Michael D, who's asking about the city you believe has the most drivers of cars named after that city. So the Toyota Tacoma, the Kia Sedona, Hyundai Tucson, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know about cities, but I will say the winner, at least for the name of the car, Ferrari California.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's a good one.
Takes the cake. I don't know about city. Maybe the Kias and the Hyundais, but
I will say the Hyundai Tucson. I grew up in Tucson, and you didn't see a whole lot of them there.
No.
They're just
maybe more now, since they're actually more accepted as a real car.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So
yeah, I'd say Ferrari California. I mean, there's way more of those in California. Aptly named, I suppose.
Yeah. Ed the Sled on Instagram was asking, what kind of car-related bachelor party would you have in the U.S.? Track days at Willow Springs, drag racing in Las Vegas, Pebble Beach trip, budget of $1,000 to $2,000 per person.
Oh.
And in my mind, instantly went to F1 at Circuit of the Americas.
Oh, good.
I mean, can you even top that?
Good. Can we have some VIP activities thrown in there with seating and
surely you can do something with $2,000 a person on the trip like that.
Yeah. Wow. I will add to that, Ed, as far as that's great for bachelor parties, but then where would you get married? And it would be, what about the Black Hawk Museum? Or maybe this would be the reception. The Black Hawk Museum in Danville, California.
Hmm.
They exhibit at Pebble Beach every year, or used to, actually. Yeah.
Or
I mean,
Peterson.
Can you imagine having a reception and you just, you know, you can reach out and touch a, you know, $1 million whatever.
Yeah, or like Peterson or LeMay.
Or Peterson,
or,
yeah.
You know, name your car exhibit.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got a lot of good ones here.
Holy cow. Well, guys, thank you so much for all these excellent questions. We're sorry we can't get to all of them, but man, just gets us thinking. And if you've got your own debate, write to us, everydaydrivertv@gmail.com, or you can find us on the website. Man, thank you for being on again. I really appreciate
course.
You. I think you're liking it more and more, too.
It's so much fun, and time goes by so fast.
Doesn't it?
I mean, it really
here
does.
We are at the end already. It's It's crazy. Well, yeah, guys, we've got so much coming at you. Todd and I are really in the midst of figuring things out. The pilgrimage trip for 2018 is forthcoming.
Yep.
So keep that in mind. Start saving your pennies right now because it's going to be a little bit different. There's some twists and turns. It's going to be a lot of twists and turns. Yep. Anyway, but it should be pretty cool.
Should be a good one.
And then, yeah, more filming to be done here. So, got a lot of work to do, and thanks to you again for doing all the amazing shooting that you do. You and Edgar are amazing.
Thanks, I try. And that's what I'm here for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Guys, like I said, appreciate it so much. Write to us, even just drop us a line, tell us what's going on, and look forward to next time.
Yep.
Cheers, everyone.
Geico presents eyewitness interviews with inanimate objects.
This is Brian Bruno, live on the scene of a recent windstorm, here to describe the event, the chest of drawers.
There's a storm howling outside, so I thought I'd stay in and watch a rom-com. 5 minutes into the flick, a tree branch slams through the window.
Were you hurt?
I just got a scratch on my chest.
Your chest of drawers can't help you in a windstorm, but the Geico Insurance Agency can help you get covered for personal property damage. Call Geico to see how affordable homeowners insurance can be.
ADT can design and install a smart home just for you, backed by 24/7 protection. A new smart home at your service, customized for your lifestyle. Set up custom automations unique to your home to automatically do the things like lock the doors or set the thermostat when you leave. Even close your garage door from virtually anywhere. ADT will set up your home with multiple smart home devices and security features like indoor and outdoor cameras, locks, lights, and garage door control, even video doorbells. Visit ADT.com/podcasts to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you.